This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney broadcasting from Chicago. The Windy City, pretty cool weather today. Actually, some interesting things happening in Chicago. I'll talk about that in a second. But before I do, let's get to really the headlines of the day and what you're talking about in your backyard. And it includes, of course, the airline heist. There's still questions about how the Horizon Air 29-year-old employee got a hold to the plane and then ultimately crashed it 30 miles from SeaTac. Very sad story. They said it was a suicide mission on his part, and he had such a good reputation among his co-workers. So the Seattle airport is reviewing and then increasing, obviously, security, because this is something that's a risk. Who would have thought hundreds of lives certainly would be at stake if something else had gone wrong when he took off with that plane? Meanwhile, it's the president and Omarosa, who was on Celebrity Apprentice at one point, but this is a different time, and this is the White House, and this is the president. So President Trump, rather, and Omarosa are going back and forth, her attorney anyway, over a gag order that experts say was probably unconstitutional. So there's debates about that. His feud with the former White House staffer publishing a book critical of the press reignited this debate about the use of non-disclosure agreements to bar aides from discussing the administration. So Trump, on a tweet, said wacky Omarosa already has a fully signed non-disclosure agreement. He released that on Monday. And now the question does become, where do we go from here, right? She says she was offered, Omarosa, by the way, $15,000 a month job with Trump's campaign to keep quiet. That's what she's saying now. And she's saying that he lies to the American people, and this is all part of her book that's being released. The White House didn't respond to questions about the administration's policy on non-disclosure agreements, including whether there is actually a requirement, and if so, how many aides are required to sign them. It's an interesting question for any president, I think, and now I'm curious about others, and I've got calls out to several former people who worked in White Houses for Bush, both Bushes and Clinton and Obama, etc., as I'm very curious about these non-disclosure agreements, because I know they're very common in corporations and, of course, the private sector, but I never heard of that in the White House. So we'll see. I mean, you know, NDAs, I would think, in a way, would be required on a presidential campaign, but do they hold up? So that war will continue, especially as her book gets traction, or doesn't get traction, but ultimately gets released. Okay, so let's talk about Seattle, and Seattle saying that the airport SeaTac, and I know a lot of you are listening to us in Washington. I've flown into that airport many times. Great airport, but not great when an airline employee is able to steal an empty plane and then crash into an island near the airport. And it was a suicide mission. He steals the commercial aircraft, and he wasn't trained to fly, but he managed to commandeer a 76-seat plane without anyone stopping him. How does that happen? So people from Alaska, officials, if you will, from Alaska and Horizon Air say the man even had time to use a tractor-trailer to back the plane up and rotate it so he could take off. Now, that's what I'm curious about. So it isn't like the movies like Indiana Jones or somewhere where, boom, you're jumping in the plane. He backed it up, did all those kinds of things, and nobody noticed. Now, he did work for Horizon Airlines for 3.5 years, so he had background checks. He had a 10-year criminal check. He was fully certified to be on the tarmac with the plane. He had a great track record, and there was nobody was thinking, oh, there's red flags, there's something here. But his job was to handle baggage, loading and towing the plane, which I guess moving the plane, maybe there would be a misunderstanding, or somebody would look up and not think anything of it. He had worked his shift on Friday. He was still in uniform when he commandeered, took over, if you will, or, you know, kind of walked over to, well, first he walked over to a cargo holding area, then he hopped into the plane seat of this Horizon airplane. The plane wasn't scheduled to be used that night, so additional safety measures for flight-ready planes, of course, wouldn't be there. So the wheels wouldn't be locked, all that kind of stuff. It's very, very sad, and it means there's going to be some marked improvement, I would think, in security, and this is going to have other airlines on high alert at other airports, so a similar thing does not happen there. And it is scary to think of it, because then you think, okay, this is another way that somebody could possibly do something to any of us here at any of the airports by biding their time, and if they could pass the background checks. And so I think this certainly puts, like I said, people on high alert. Let's put it that way. All right. In the meantime, let's pop to something else. How about what's going on with Papa John's? Talk about a nightmare when it comes to branding. And I've talked about this before, but Papa John's franchisees are being hurt by the N-word scandal. And that scandal was the fact that the founder of of Papa John's used that word, and then of course that exploded from there. And, you know, now this Louisville-based company, and some of you are listening to us there, you know, you've been hearing about this. They say they're going to spend, and I talked about this before on a previous show, and I talked to someone today about this. They're going to spend $30 to $50 million to rebrand, and they're going to help some of these franchisees. They have to, because many have lost half their revenues, since the founder, John Shatner, admitted using the racial slur in a May conference call. So you've got company execs scattering all over the place from Dallas, Atlanta, LA to try to head off the problems and meet with the franchisees and employees on what's been described as a listening tour aimed at somehow coming up with a new image for the international chain. And this is crisis communication at its worst. You know, at its best now, and they're trying to do something, but having a plan in place, any of these companies out there seeing this, how easy something can happen and how that can ultimately affect the stock and affect the people who are franchisees who you're making money from. So the company's stock has plunged. At one point last week, it plunged in half. I know I talked about this. The stock opened on Monday, 41.30, so down from a 52-week high of 80.80, and that is a significant, my friends, significant drop. People investing in the chain thinking it's a great investment, especially with the NFL season coming up and interest in pizza. I mean, let's face it, pizza is a hot selling item. So believing that that's something safe to invest in and then having that happen would throw some people for a curveball, and also the franchisees too as well, because certainly they are not expecting that to happen at all. All right, and quickly on this note, how about this? I was just reading this story this morning about this utility workers that came on this ancient bone fragment of a massive mammal. It is so cool. I'm fascinated by dinosaurs and mammal bones. And this happened, they say, it's a woolly mammoth or a mastodon discovered by these workers in Florida. And it's just this ancient bone. It's huge. Just imagine, I just think about what is buried beneath our feet? What's buried? It's like the La Brea Tar Pits in Los Angeles. It just blew my mind when I was there. Just as a quick aside, I did that one time on a summer vacation. So how about those workers finding that? Again, that happened in Florida. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way next here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down-home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset. it's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get Diamond Gusset Jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's Gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond Gusset Jeans got it. Others don't.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit Gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, MD of NutraMedical.com, announcing the breakthrough Red Deer Velvet DR. It delivers the protected building blocks of all organs and tissues, allowing your own stem cells as architects and engineers to regenerate you. Not since fetal life, when aging does not occur, has such an amazing NutraMed been available to help heal you and regenerate you. Anti-aging requires that you correct mineral, activated nutraceutical, and jump the gene defects and poor diet you have to deliver the cellular tools for regeneration. You must remove old damaged cells and replace them with your young healthy cells to wind the biological clock to a younger you. Order your Red Deer Velvet DR now at NutraMedical.com 24/7 or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I, Medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com. Or call our order line, 888-212-8871.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, and of course, broadcasting from Chicago, Illinois. I'm actually at the Authority Insiders Forum for Forbes Books, and I'm here because my new book is being released called Deal Your Own Destiny, How to Go All In, Patience Pays, and Stacking the Deck, the way to control your destiny or certainly drive in the right direction for it. Very excited about it. As many of you know, I've done so many interviews, 15,000. What have I learned? What are the lessons I've learned from even many of you? If you want to pre-order a copy, I'm throwing in my tip book as well for free. Just go to katedelaneyspeaker.com, katedelaneyspeaker.com. Click on the picture. You'll see underneath it of me and Steve Forbes, and you can order the book that way. Please spread the word. I'm very excited about this book. It's a year-long project close to my heart, and I thank all of you for all your support, for all the people who have been cheering me along the way on the little show that could. Thank you. All right, let's dive into the mailbag. So this comes to us from Al, who says, Amorosa Smosa, Kate, she's just a ding-dong and you know it. Although I do appreciate you reporting the story and the fact that this non-disclosure agreement, it makes sense. Why would a president just have all these people around them that could just blab whatever they wanted to blab or exaggerate or make up or twist? And that seems to keep happening. What is the scoop on that? I have no respect for these people. There has to be some place that's considered to be private. And for goodness sake, the leader of the free world, no matter who he is or what anybody thinks, he should be guaranteed some confidentiality, don't you think? Well, I'm surprised that that isn't just part of the scoop. You know, people, I remember when it came out about Oprah having all the people around her sign these non-disclosure agreements and confidentiality agreements, and it makes sense. Why? Because everybody wanted a piece of her. She was a huge, and still is, a huge media personality. There's misinformation. Probably some of it's correct. Some of it's absolutely erroneous and ridiculous and wrong. And you know, you have all these employees that work there, and who knows what they can say, or they try to make a buck, or some sleazy newspaper or magazine wants to take a story, exaggerate it, or flat out make some ridiculous statements that aren't true, and then, of course, trying to get corroboration or inside information. And that's the scoop. If you work for somebody and they give you a non-disclosure agreement, you freely sign in a confidentiality agreement, that's the deal. I've been in meetings where I've had to sign a confidentiality agreement, and then it didn't happen what we thought was going to happen, but still whatever was discussed in private financially could not be released. So to me, that does make sense. If I was a president, I would think that something around me would have to be sacrosanct, because for goodness sake, what are people learning? What are they hearing? And what could erroneously be reported? Now, on the other hand, I would not pay attention, because I don't care what people think and I wouldn't worry about it. But if it destroys the office of the presidency and it turns it into a circus, it's ridiculous to me. But it is all about controversy. And I said this before, controversy sells. That's what people are looking for. Controversy. Absolutely. All right, so let's go to this one. Prosecutors overruling the sheriff's charges in Florida. A lot of you sent me things about that. I'm not surprised. You listen to us in Sarasota, Arcadia, Miami, a lot of different places in Florida. And by the way, you can always get the show at TuneIn. TuneIn Radio if you can't find it locally. And thanks to all the fabulous stations that pick us up across the U.S., including KPAM in Portland. Great peeps up there. All right, so how about this? So the guy who fatally shot Marcus McLaughlin after McLaughlin apparently shoved him in Clearwater, Florida, and this is from Jody, has been charged with manslaughter, right? So Jody says, you saw the manslaughter charge. Kate, what do you think of that? Okay, so Michael Drechka, and I hope I'm saying that name right, was picked up on Monday morning. He was booked into Pinellas County Jail. His bail is set at $100,000. His first court appearance will be on Tuesday afternoon. So I guess they came to a decision. They looked at they interviewed witnesses, they looked at the surveillance video, and they made a decision to move forward with the information that they had. And McLaughlin's family, because of course he died, they said the decision to charge him was right. You know, the girlfriend said that he didn't have to go like this. Why was he killed in cold blood without a second thought about the devastating impact his actions would have on our family? This charge gives us a measure of hope that the truth will win and justice will prevail in the end. All right, I got this one from Michael, who says, Kate, I totally agree with what the decision was in the case of that happened in the convenience store parking lot. I think the guy who shoved him should have been charged with manslaughter. They did ultimately do that, because I do not believe it is a stand your ground case, and I think you have to be careful about stand your ground. Thank goodness there is stand your ground in many instances, but I believe this was the right thing to do here. Yeah, it was like this altercation in the parking lot, by the way, and there was an argument. This is what's so sad. Do you know what this was about, people? This was an argument over a parking space. Somebody had parked in the handicap parking space, and that's what started this whole thing. So when McLaughlin came outside, he approached this Drechka and shoved him to the ground, and you can see that on the surveillance photo. He pulled out a handgun. McLaughlin just backed away from him, and he shot him in the chest, and that was it. So, just a horrible thing, and unnecessary, and shouldn't have happened. It's scary. That's what I think. I think it's incredibly scary. I believe in stand your ground in certain instances. Absolutely, there was a reason why that was put in play. But you also have to be careful when you have evidence to the contrary, or believe that you do, to go in a different direction. So I say bravo when you ask me that. All right, how about this? I got a note here from Jake in Austin. Hi, Jake in Austin. And Jake in Austin says, hi, Kate. I know you've been traveling. I'm so glad you're still doing the show when you're on the road. We appreciate that. I love the updates and all the fabulous interviews because that's your jam, and I can't wait to read your book. I just ordered two of them. But I wanted to ask you about this fan page. I know this is a sports story, but you do invade the man cave. This fan page that was set up about to get rid of possibly the backup quarterback Paxton Lynch for the Denver Broncos. Did you see that GoFundMe page thing? They were trying to raise money to help release the quarterback. Is that the craziest thing that you've ever heard? Well, this is fans to the extreme who are sick of not having a decent quarterback, and they've got Case Keenum right now, and who's the backup going to be? Paxton Lynch is on the list, certainly. So this is what happened. To flesh out a little bit more for you, and thank you, by the way, for picking up the books. I appreciate it. Deal Your Own Destiny. So a fan in Colorado set up a GoFundMe page. That's right. Raising money to help release him. The goal was set at $600,000, which would be so crazy if people paid that. And if the Broncos were to cut him, he would carry a cap hit of $4.45 million this season and $1.87 million in 2019-20. So Lynch was a first-round pick in 2016 out of the University of Memphis, but he's played sparingly, and the concern, of course, for Broncos fans, or at least this one who's being very vocal, is he's not going to be good. So fans are joining this crowdsourcing campaign. Will they get the $600,000? No. That would be a shocker, but it's the point of saying to the team, look, we're sick of lousy potential backups. No offense to Paxton Lynch, because I thought coming out of college he would be pretty good. But that's what their point of view is, and they're just trying to put the Broncos, or at least one fan is trying to put the Broncos on notice as, yeah, come on, stop this. All right, how about this one comes to us from Valerie. Kate, you used to always talk about the price of gas, especially when you're traveling. Have you noticed what gasoline has been like? And I have to say, it's actually, in my neck of the woods, it's down pretty low. I'm paying like $2.29, which I'm very excited about. And so I'm wondering what you've seen out there on the road. That is such a great question. I'm so glad you asked me that, because I just was in Sedona, Arizona, as many of you know. And when in some places in Sedona it was, I think I'm going to say the highest was $2.80. And in other places, it was a little bit lower than that. And Texas, I'm used to it being around $2.29, $2.30. So here's the thing. You got to go to this app that I go to called Gas Buddy. And if you go to Gas Buddy, it will show you where the cheapest areas are. I mean, you can be a couple towns over and it's cheaper. Now, some people say that's gouging, but it depends. If you're in a, you know, if you're in a resort area versus another area that has a zillion gas stations, and then historically, depending on how big the city is and where it's located, that can fluctuate the where, you know, what you're paying too. But usually in the summer, where a lot of people are traveling, you get it around $3 or so. Unless you're in California, because I think California's always higher. It's always up to almost $4. The rest of us would have a heart attack if we were paying $4. But go to Gas Buddy. Gas Buddy's a great place to get tips on where to go. All right, stay with us. More coming around the flip side here on ATN.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. President Trump followed through on his threat to revoke the security clearance for former CIA Director John Brennan after he said some things on Twitter he didn't like. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders reading from the president's statement.
I've decided to revoke the security clearance of John Brennan, former director of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Brennan has been a vocal critic of the president. The White House says it's reviewing the clearance for other officials as well. Former government officials often retain security clearances so they can advise their successors. Sanders said the administration was reviewing the clearances of several other former Obama administration officials, as well as Bruce Orr, a Justice Department attorney who was in contact with a former British spy claiming to have dirt on the president. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention! Sorry, I'm talking a little loud because I want to reach people with a hearing problem. Do you want to hear better for just $299? Yes, not thousands, but for $299. You can hear all the sounds you've been missing for years. Hearing Help Express has been helping people hear better, selling top quality hearing aids for over 30 years. Now is your best chance to hear better with hearing aids for $299 with our free 45-day home trial offer. And you don't even need to leave your home or get a hearing test. Call now to start your free 45-day risk-free home trial offer. All it takes is a free hearing consultation. Learn how Hearing Help Express can improve the quality of your life with better hearing. Call now.
800-516-7448. 800-516-7448. 800-516-7448. That's 800-516-7448.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
I like to see you go right across the floor.
Excited to have a chance to talk to Lon Sefko. It's just amazing. Innovator, inventor, best-selling author. Think about this. 2017 Pulitzer Prize nominee, author of multiple, I said that, you know, the author thing, innovative best-selling books. I've read them, the social media Bible. I can't get enough of his stuff, and I'm thrilled he agreed to spend some time with us. And I thought we'd talk about big brain, because he certainly has one. Lon, thanks for jumping on. We appreciate it.
Oh, how exciting it is to be here. Thank you for thinking of me.
I think the place to start, because there's a lot of roads that we could go down, but I want to talk about the fact that you developed the world's first voice recognition, voice synthesizing, pioneering home automation. I mean, this is brain, big brain stuff. So tell me about that, and how did you know you had really hit on to something spectacular as a person who is, you know, innovative and is an inventor?
Well, I knew I was onto something when it saved somebody's life. So I'm credited with the first computer to save a human life. Steve Jobs coined that phrase, and I thought it was pretty cool, so it kind of stuck with me. I did it really for fun back in the 70s, way back in the 70s when computers first came out. They'd only been out for a couple of years, and I was playing with it. I said, wouldn't it be cool if I could teach a computer to listen to me? And I did. And then I said, wow, how cool would it be if I can get it to talk to me? And then I did. And then I said, can I get it to turn on lights and appliances? So then I said, lamp on. Lamp would come on. Lock door. Television on. Radio off. Call mom. And that was back in the early 80s. And I worked with disabled people, and it started saving their lives, and I built a company around it.
Well, and that company took off like a shot. And, you know, when people think of voice recognition, who do we think of? There's a lot of people. You mentioned Steve Jobs, obviously. And, you know, you look at the archetypes for the Apple Newton and the first PDA. And, you know, as you said, you know, ultimately saving a life. But I think of Stephen Hawking, right?
Well, I actually went over to meet Stephen Hawking to help him with his disability over in Cambridge, and we didn't connect. He was called out of Cambridge at the very last minute. But my last customer that I got to work with was Christopher Reeve, Superman.
And we saw him in interviews. He wanted so desperately to be able to still reach people, and you obviously gave him the ability to do that. What was that like, the light bulb moment? You could see it in his eyes, right, when he was able to do that?
You know, that's the exciting thing, is to see people who have completely lost hope and wanted to die. A lot of disabled people that I worked with would have committed suicide if they could have moved their arms. But then after working with a system where they could, I had a woman without arms typing 48 words a minute. And when you see that, it's just so rewarding.
So when you do something, you know you're helping humans. You're making that connection through the computer and what you were able to do, how that innovation that you created. Where do you go from there? Because you have lots of inventions. In fact, 18 of your inventions are part of the permanent collection of the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. They even have 30,000 of your personal papers. So they were enthralled enough, and we've seen them. I can't tell you how many times I've been to the Smithsonian, and as you know, they're all housed in different buildings and broken down. But what is it? You just are motivated. You keep going. For all the people that are listening that want to kind of grab on to innovation, how do you do that?
Well, Thomas Edison once said that inspiration is 10% and perspiration is 90%. And I get inspired all of the time. I look around and see things and know how to make them better. I mean, I just get these ideas of how to put things together. And some ideas are, to be honest with you, pretty stupid. But some of them, I think, have merit. So I'll go out and I'll build it or make it or design it or write it. And then I'll test it and see what people think. And if they like it, I'll build a company around it. And next thing you know, it's kind of out there and it's successful.
Yeah. Where do you think we are with technology? Are we at the cutting edge of technology? Is it going to take off even more? Where are we?
Yeah, I have to say it's always going to take off. I thought in 1978 when the Apple first came out and the Commodore was out there and the Osborne for your older audience, I thought we were on the cutting edge of technology. It was amazing what we were doing with computers. And that was 40 years ago, and look at what we're doing now. The most powerful computer, 1978, probably represents about 3 or 4% of the smartphone that we have in our pocket. So it's going to continue, and it's going to continue at a faster and faster rate. And that's going to make it difficult for us to kind of keep up with. Artificial intelligence is going to become a major part of our life. And I'm proud to say that I was one of the pioneers in voice recognition and voice synthesizing. Of course, we have Siri and Alexa and all the other, the girl in our box in the car that gives us directions. So that technology is here, and it's just going to get more and more sophisticated.
So, in other words, you better jump on, right? Especially if we've got a lot of speakers and trainers listening to us, and I don't think you can afford, and you could address this better than me, to say, I just don't do that. I don't do that. I have just handouts, and I can't work with technology.
And I hear that all the time. It was really funny. My wife just absolutely refused to get a smartphone, and she only got her first iPhone when they stopped manufacturing flip phones. So it's inevitable. It's here, and people fought computers. They fought email. They fought the internet. They fought social media. And if you're going to be in business, if you're going to communicate with other human beings, you have to embrace this technology. It's here, and it's here to stay. So learn it. It's not that bad. People are just afraid because it's something new. But once you turn the light on, all the monsters disappear out of the closet. It's actually easy, and it's fun.
I like that. It's easy and it's fun. One of the things that you also do besides make these incredible inventions and set the world on fire with innovation, in your spare time when you're speaking, you know, you're a renowned international speaker. There's no question about that. You teach some of the world's biggest companies, household names that we know, how to harness innovative thinking. What are some of the key elements of what you have discovered really work for you when you're trying to make that breakthrough moment for these companies?
I love teaching innovative thinking. It's what I used to teach before I wrote the social media Bible. So it's kind of my foundation. I was asked by a speakers bureau in 2001. They said, "You're the most innovative person I've ever met. Can you make a keynote or even a whole day training?" And I answered, "Well, yeah, of course. I do innovation all the time." 3 years later, I still hadn't figured it out. They needed a process. And they actually turned it into a process. It's something I call the three C's. The secret to innovation is to study everything around you if you're trying to solve a problem. Look at it from every different angle, every industry. Don't just look at your own industry. If there was a solution, someone would have already figured it out. Henry Ford discovered how to create an assembly line. It changed manufacturing forever. And it gave us the opportunity to make less expensive products, like the car. But he learned it one afternoon, sitting under a tree on a potato farm. He was watching the potatoes go up the conveyor belt and drop into the truck. And he said, "Wait a minute, if I can change out the potatoes for cars, I got something here." And he reduced the price of the car to about $500, and he was making millions of them. So sometimes the solutions are right in front of you. And then give your brain an opportunity to communicate the solutions. Turn off the background noise. You don't have to get in the car and blast your iPhone. Just listen to your own brain, because it's amazing how many good ideas you have in there. You hear them in the shower. You hear them when you are exercising, when you're walking or jogging. You get them at night when you're sleeping. So just listen to yourself.
We started talking about technology, but ironically, turn off the technology to let your brain just kind of marinate with those ideas. I love that, Lon.
It's true.
So as you said, you also have one of the books I mentioned, the Social Media Bible, and I think there's a lot of confusion over social media. I mean, I'll admit this. People will say, you have to do everything. You've got to get a zillion people on Instagram, and then, oh my gosh, what are your numbers on Twitter? For goodness sake, look at the President Trump and how many numbers he has on Twitter. And what about Facebook? And I think we become overwhelmed by social media. How do we tame that lion?
That's a big problem for everybody. I mean, not only personally, how do you keep in touch with everybody on every platform? Even for you, getting to your listeners and finding where they are. Every company worldwide, which is why I teach on digital communications worldwide, because everyone is faced with the same problem. First of all, there's too much content. There's too much information coming at us from every single angle. So we're getting desensitized to marketing, to advertising, to tweets, to posts. Everybody's talking. Nobody's listening. That's the first problem. But what you said was absolutely true. We do kind of have a responsibility, especially if we're in business, to monitor and to communicate on every single platform. The reason is we don't know where the critical mass is. We don't know if your listeners prefer Facebook over Twitter, or they like LinkedIn or Instagram. So you got to kind of be there. You got to test it. You got to see where they are. And then after you test it and get some numbers, you can kind of cut back on some of the platforms that aren't giving you the best rate of return on investment and focus on the ones where the majority of your customers are.
Yeah, great advice. Parting shot. So as we talk about technology, letting your brain have a chance to think creatively, to come up with whatever the next great best speech is or product or whatever it is that you might be doing, what would you like to see happen in the near future when it comes to innovation?
I want everybody to become more innovative. I want everybody to believe that they are innovators. Everybody comes up with great ideas. Think of the number of great ideas that you've come up with in your lifetime. And if you could just figure out what that process is, like riding a bike, playing a piano, and you just practice it just a little bit, and you were able to come up with really award-winning ideas once a month, once a week, maybe even once a day. How would that change your life? How would that change the world? America, I mean, that's what made this the greatest country in the world for centuries, because we are innovators. We are constantly pushing the boundaries, breaking through that envelope. And I want everybody to continue to do that. just be as innovative as possible, because we all have it in us. We just have to know how to do it and we get to practice.
Lon Sefko, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for sunshine pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find sunshine pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
Suggest that someone as qualified and respected as Merrick Garland doesn't even deserve a hearing, let alone an up or down vote, to join an institution as important as our Supreme Court when 2/3 of Americans believe otherwise? That would be unprecedented.
There, my father, who ran the smallest of small businesses from a room in our basement, took me with him as he made the rounds to his customers, always impressing upon me the importance of hard work and fair dealing.
The president.
president has spoken, and he nominates the man you just heard, Merrick Garland. The big question, who is Merrick Garland? If you talk to super conservative Republicans, they say too liberal. If you talk to super liberal people inside the Beltway, which I did today, they say not very liberal, somewhere in between. But the bottom line is this. Will he get through the Senate nominating process or get booted in the end? I think we know the answer to that. I'm going to let you all chime in. 855-266-5283. 855-266-KATE here on America Tonight as we traverse through the nooks and crannies. Joining us now, he's in our virtual green room, legal and constitutional scholar Byron Henry. He's with Sheaf and Stone. He is a partner in the appellate law section of that law firm with this practice focusing on the areas of business litigation and civil appeals, by the way. And as I said, he is a constitutional scholar, perfect guy for us to have on the show. Byron, thanks for coming on.
Great to be with you, Kate.
So you heard the announcement. What was your initial reaction?
Well, brutally honest, my initial reaction was that the nomination by President Obama of Chief Judge Merrick Garland was a basically sort of a sacrificial lamb type, so to speak, because President Obama does not believe that the Republican Congress or Republican Senate is going to relent and actually hold hearings. Therefore, he picked an older, more moderate, more difficult person for Republicans to argue against and make it very political, very difficult for them politically in this campaign season with the presidential election coming up without going to the young, ideologically liberal stars on the bench that liberals can draw on. If Hillary Clinton wins the presidency, he basically puts someone out there that's less liberal, older, he's white, he's a white male, and therefore, you know, if he doesn't get through, that's fine. He still has a good job on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals as chief judge, but it did not throw one of the more up-and-coming stars of the Democratic Party on the bench to the wolves, so to speak, to just kind of die on the vine in this bitter bitterly fought presidential campaign year.
Yeah, absolutely. And the president had considered him before, but ultimately the two appointments he had, or the nominations he had, went to Justices Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan, not in his direction. So this was a way to come back. And as you mentioned, he is the chief judge for the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. In fact, he was appointed, people might remember, by Bill Clinton in 1997. So what is the upside? I suppose, let's look at it from two different angles. What's the upside for the Prez in doing this? Is he kind of saying to the Republicans who were putting it out there that this isn't the time to nominate, there's not enough time left in the year, and this should be really the job of the next president? Is it kind of saying to them, no, I'm the president still, and I'm going to do this?
Well, I think it's more than just that, because the president certainly has the constitutional authority and discretion to nominate an associate justice, even if it's the last day of his term. So he can do that. I think what the message really is to the Republicans are, you say you won't even hold hearings, you won't even consider a nominee, so what I'm going to give you is basically the prototypical consensus nominee whom both Orrin Hatch and others in the Senate, Chuck Grassley and others, have commended on the floor when he was nominated in the past for the Circuit Court of Appeals as being very moderate, as being distinguished, as being brilliant. And so therefore he's going to basically call their bluff, so to speak, and say, okay, I didn't nominate a firebrand. I didn't nominate someone with a past. I nominated a career prosecutor, public servant, you know, just an all-around well-respected jurist with no negative marks in his record or in his past. And let's basically see you not even consider a nominee that you would have begged for 2 years ago or 3 years ago when I was right after I was reelected. And I think that's really what this is about.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that Garland said today was, fidelity to the Constitution and the law has been the cornerstone of my professional life, that it's about the Constitution. As somebody who is a constitutional scholar, is that true?
Well, I mean, certainly, let's put it this way. All terms are relative. Moderates, relative. Dedication to the Constitution is relative. Every Supreme Court justice would say, liberal or conservative, they're dedicated to hewing close to the Constitution. The issue here is this is not going to be about Chief Judge Garland. The issue is not about his ideology or his credentials, because the Republicans drew a line in the sand, I think smartly on this occasion, by the way. They drew the line in the sand before the nomination was made so that they could say, honestly, it didn't matter who was nominated. They weren't going to hold hearings, and they're basically invoking the Biden rule that basically says, if we're in a bitterly fought campaign season, presidential election year, in the last year of a president's term, we are not going to basically throw a nominee to the wolves, or we're not going to have that bitter confirmation fight in that kind of a campaign season. And basically the president said, okay, I'm going to give you a nominee, the most conservative or least liberal nominee you could ever hope to get from a President Obama or a President Hillary Clinton, and see if you're going to stick to your guns.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch this happen. Do you think it's going to be a short process or a long process? And, of course, I'm asking you, looking at crystal ball, I think it'll drag out maybe a little bit.
Well, no, I mean, that's the easy answer, since I've already gone on record in a lot of forums saying I believe the Republican Senate is basically pot committed on this, meaning they're all in with all their chips to the middle of the table. They're not going to hold hearings. They're not going to do the courtesy round that is typical of all Supreme Court nominations. They're not, so there is nothing to drag out. I mean, will it drag out in the public, meaning will there be calls to do for the Senate to do their job and quit violating their constitutional duty? That's going to drag out as long as the nomination. But there is no process, because the Republican senators, Mitch McConnell in particular, who controls basically the floor of the Senate, and Chuck Grassley, who controls the Judiciary Committee, have said there will be no process. Nothing is going to start, so nothing will be dragged out.
Yeah, just in the media and in the public.
That's correct.
Yeah, absolutely. Byron Henry, thanks so much. We appreciate your time.
You're sure welcome, Kate. Have a good evening.
Yeah, you too. Good stuff. So you heard him say, he's right. They threw down the gauntlet at the beginning. So if I'm a strategist, that is the right move to make, because the chances of doing the let's just have the show, let's just do the circus, even though we're going to say no, 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 is really not that good. I said at the beginning of the hour, 1,000 to 1, you know, come on. So the White House keeps pushing that he has more federal judicial experience than any other Supreme Court nominee in history, because he's got 19 years on the D.C. Circuit Court. And, you know, that's really considered the second most important court. And if you look at the investigations that he's led, the case against Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh certainly was one of those. You know, it's interesting, because somebody said to me, well, wait a second, don't just necessarily assume that. If Garland succeeds in getting the seat of Justice Antonin Scalia, he would be the rival to Scalia's very, very colorful writing style. So, you know, that's considered to be, as somebody said to me today, you know, look at some of the cases that are up, and look what he could be a part of if he were to be nominated. But to Byron Henry's point, it's not going to happen, because if they've said, if the Senate Republicans, you know, Mitch McConnell coming out today, we're not going to do it, we're not going to have the hearings, then it's not going to happen. They control that process. In fact, coming up, we're going to let you hear what Senator Orrin Hatch had to say. And you know, Byron mentioned this. If you go back to 2010, when it was Justice John Paul Stevens, they were looking for a successor. Orrin Hatch, Republican senator, called him a consensus nominee. So now, what is Hatch saying about this nomination and this process? Has he changed his tune in 2016? Find out on the flip side.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S. The Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to theultimateknife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at theultimateknife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at theultimateknife.com.